holding on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the eighth line. We're still in the middle of talking about the Motzi Shemra that we started talking about a couple of days ago, which is the case where the husband claims in Beis Din that he found that his wife was not a basula, checked into it, found that he claims that that she's not a basula because she was mizana during the erusin, which if that were to be true, should be chayiv misa. And we said specifically in most cases should be chayiv skila. Then we said that if he was lying, if the edim he brought were false edim, then there are several consequences for him. He gets malchus, he pays 100 sloyim, and he's never allowed to divorce her. There is, by the way, in that connection, the Rambam says that specifically that would be if they were mazim as edim, meaning the usual thing of hazama, where other edim come and say you were with us at the time, and therefore you can't possibly be testifying about this, as opposed to Rashi elsewhere and Tosfos elsewhere talk about maybe it doesn't have to be that we were mazim the edim, maybe it's enough that we showed, maybe it's enough even that other edim come that are machtish them, that contradict them, that say, for example, good morning, Ali, that for example, if other edim come and say that the kala herself was someplace else at the time, that can constitute hazama, we don't execute the other edim, but that does constitute a kosha because it contradicts them. How could they be saying that she was zane in such a place in such a time if she wasn't there at the time? So Rashi and Tosfos elsewhere learn that a kosha would be enough. Obviously, it's enough to save her from being executed, no question about that. But according to them, that's also in that also would trigger then that the husband now gets the malchus and pays the 100, etc. Whereas according to the Rambam, it would be specifically only if other edim come in a mazim, the husband's edim. Anyway, so now we're going to talk about that point about the various aspects of the husband's punishment. So again, Memvav Amud Aleph, eighth line. Tanarabanan, the onshu oisei zemamen. The pasuk says if they find that it's a lie, the Beis Din finds that it's a lie. So the pasuk says they punished him. So zemamen, that refers to the money that they collect from him, the 100 sela that goes to his wife. The yisru zemalkus. And when it says in the previous pasuk, the yisru literally means they chastise him, means that they give him malkus. An interesting point is those two are out of order because Va'anshu Oisai is the second pasuk, V'yisru is the first one. The Shittim Kobetzis explains the Gemara put them out of order because otherwise, because the point is only because we know that Va'anshu means that we fine him money. Therefore, we have to understand that the Yisru means something else, which we're going to discuss now, that it means Malchus. If it was the other way around, if the Pasuk had said Va'onshu first and then the Yisru, you wouldn't even know that there are two different punishments. You would think Va'onshu Oisai is a general statement. They punish him. And how do they punish him? With the Yisru Oisai. But now that we have, it's in the order of the Yisru Oisai and then Va'onshu Oisai, then it's clear that the Va'onshu itself is a separate penalty, namely the money. So the Gemara says, "Bishlema va'onshu zemamen." So I understand how we know that the word va'onshu means that they should penalize and they have to pay money. Dichtiv va'onshu oisa me'er kesef v'nasnu la'vi anayra. The pasuk says they punish him, they fine him 100 silver coins, 100 sela, and he gives it to the father. Then he gives it to the father of the girl. And as we talked about the other day, if a father has passed away or whatever, then she gets it herself. El v'yisru is a malchus minolon. Where do we know that the word v'yisru refers to malchus? The word v'yisru is the same shodesh as the word musar, by the way, and musar doesn't always have to be something physical. Maybe it just means that Beis Din tells him off. So the answer is, Amar Rabba Bahu, lamanu yisru mi yisru. We learn the meaning of the word yisru over here from a different place where it also uses the word v'yisru. V'yisru mi ben. In turn, that says in connection with the word ben, or ben mi ben, and that in turn we learn from a different place where it says ben, or rather where it says bin. Namely, like this, we start off with v'hoya im bin hakois harosha. The pasuk says towards the end of Parashas Kisetze that describes a case where a person is brought to Beis Din and has to be whipped. If the person is bin hakois, if he's somebody who deserves to be whipped, then Beis Din does that. So now in turn, from that we learn to a ben sora remota, that the ben sora remota is described as a stat, ben sora remota, And the pasuk says over there, he uses the word the yisru oisa, that they give him the yisru, and he's still not listening to his parents. So therefore, so they're putting together the bin by Malchus and the ben by ben Sarimurda tells us therefore that the word the yisru by the ben Sarimurda refers to Malchus. And that's how it works with Ben Sora Ramota. The first time he does the whole thing that triggers the Ben Sora Ramota process, it's described in detail in Sanhedrin, where he steals money from his father and he uses it to buy a certain amount of meat and wine. And he eats it, you know, in a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. All the detailed dinim over there. So the first time that happens with Ed Vasra, of course, then they bring him to Beis Din and give him Malchus. And then if that happens again, then that's when he gets the Missa of a Ben Sora Ramota. So we see there that the word Yisru, that the word v'yisru means that they give him Malchus. We see that from the fact that it says ben together with it, and it says bin by Malchus. Now, in turn, our word v'yisru over here by the Motzi Shemra is darshin from that, that therefore we're saying that just like the v'yisru by the ben Sora Ramota is Malchus, so is the v'yisru over here means Malchus as well. An interesting point in that is we just learned yesterday we had a similar kind of multi-step. We had a similar kind of multi-step thing like that, where we learned Pesach from Pesach and Pesach from Shire and Shire from Sharecha. And Rashi said over there that means it's not a real Gzeira Shava. It's only an Asmachta. So why all of a sudden over here are we saying that we're able to use it as a source for Malchus? Malchus requires something that's Daraisa. So the Maharam Shif talks about that. And he says maybe fundamentally what it is we're talking over here. It's possible that now like this, usually we say in Shas that if you learn one thing from another with a Gzeira Shava, you're allowed to then learn from that to something else with a Gzeira Shava. An exception is when it comes to Korbanos. When it comes to Kodshim, then you can't do that. So the Maharam Shif says maybe what it is over here, maybe Rashi is following an opinion that says that even by other areas in Torah outside of Kodshim, you can't do that. Therefore, he calls it, before he called it Dirabbanan. And then over here, he says, really, we don't need it at all. We don't really need to learn Yisru from Ben. We don't need that middle step. All we need is we learn that the Ben Sora Ramota gets Malchus from the Gzeira Shava of Ben. And then in turn, we learn from the Gzeira Shava of the Yisru that the Motzi Shemra gets Malchus also. So he says that, maybe that has to do with that you can't learn Lamed Mina Lamed. Maybe that would be why the Gemara has to mention the learning Yisru from Ben, but really that should really, according to most opinions, that shouldn't be necessary. It's a straight out thing that the Ben Sora Ramota gets Malchus, we learn from the Gzeira Shava of Ben, that the Motzi Shemra gets Malchus, we learn from the Gzeira Shava of Yisru. We don't need the fact that the Yisru and Ben say next to one another. So that's how we learn, and in any case, that's how we learn that the Motzi Shemra gets Malchus. Next, as Horo the Motzi Shemra Manolon, where is the warning in the Torah that he's not allowed to do it? And whenever the Torah says that a person gets a punishment for such and such, there always has to be someplace in the Torah there or someplace else that says to begin with, don't do this. Now, we're not talking about that at the time. Also, you need to have Edim or give him Asura, but we're talking about more generally. There are some times when the Torah says that if you do such and such, you're going to get such and such consequences. There has to be someplace else in the Torah where it warns you in the first place, where there's a lois hasseh, don't do such and such. So where is the lois hasseh in the Torah telling the husband to not accuse his wife like that? So Rabbi Elazar, I'm going to be lois hasseh l'characha. Rabbi Elazar says, because the pasuk says you shouldn't go as a talebearer, which includes the issue of Lashon Hara. So then that's what he's doing. He's saying Lashon Hara about her, saying that she was Mizana during the Erusin. Rab Nosson, I'm Vinishmauta, we call Dovar Ra. Rab Nosson says, we learn it from the Pasuk that says you should guard yourself from any bad thing. The word Dovar also means word. So from any bad word. Now the word Vinishmauta is related to the word Hishomer. It means guard yourself, beware. And we have a rule that whenever it says he shomer or similar expressions like that, then it means a loisese. So therefore, so Rav Nosson is saying that the fact that it says v'nishmaut and v'kol davara constitutes a lab, don't say a bad thing. In this case, the bad thing that he's saying about his wife. Okay, so the question is, Rabbi Elazar, my time, like Omer Mehai, why doesn't what does Rabbi Elazar see wrong with that pasuk that instead he has to learn from Leiselech Rachel? And the answer is, because Rabbi Elazar says that that pasuk in Shmartim and Kol Damar Ra we're using for a different drasha that we're using to learn what Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair says, where the pasuk says in Shmartim and Kol Damar Ra mikan Omer Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Based on this, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair explained it means al yahar her adam ayyim v'yavli de tuma b'layla. A person is not allowed to think thoughts of arayas. Of znus or whatever during the day, that's going to lead him to tumah, that's going to lead him to become a baal keri at night. And we know that it's referring to that because the next pasuk after Nishmartim Kol Davar Ra describes a case where a person becomes a baal keri, where it says that he needs to toivel in the mikveh. So therefore, the Pinchas Ben Yair says that's what Nishmartim Kol Davar Ra means. Nothing to do with that you're not allowed to say certain things. It means you're not allowed to think. You have to guard yourself from bad things, meaning from thoughts that could lead you to become a baal keri. By the way, Tosfos elsewhere explains, given that we're saying over here that Rabbi Elazar is saying you have to use it for that, therefore you don't have it available to teach us about the Motzi Shemra, that Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair means, or at least that Rabbi Elazar understands him to mean, that this is an actual Issu D'oraisa. We're not just talking about, but it's something that the Chachamim said, and the pasuk is an asmachta for it, but rather that it would actually be an issu in our Torah to do that. There is quite a bit of discussion about that, given that there's a different Gemara elsewhere, for example, where there's different Gemaras elsewhere that bear on this. There's one, for example, where Yechezkel says on himself to Hashem, he says, Hashem, you should know, I've always been careful. I was never Mahar HaBayim and came to Keri Balayla. We're saying over here that's something that's flat out also in HaTorah, then there's no Chiddush that Yechezkel did that. Of course, he kept all the mitzvahs. If you say that it's a Takana Dirabanan or it's a Chumra Dirabanan or something and it's only an Asmachta, then yeah, it makes more sense that he's talking about that he was extra careful with that. Another point is also the Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara in Baba Basra that says that there are Avedas that a person is not, that you average person is not saved from every day, and one of them is a Hura Aveda. Again, if it's a flat out one of the 613 mitzvahs, then a person has to keep it just like any other one. So there is some discussion among the Rishonim about this, that whether in fact it is an Issu D'oraisa or whether it maybe is only an Issu D'rabbanan, and maybe we say maybe it is an Issu D'oraisa, but Yechezkel was extra careful about it, or whatever.
What's an Issu D'oraisa?
Issu D'oraisa means an Issu from the Torah itself. We're talking about the Issu that we were just saying in the Gemara over here of Nishmarta, we call Dabara, that a person is not supposed to think of Hirhurim, of Znus or whatever by day, that would lead him to Keri by night. Right? Okay, anyway. So Rabbi Elazar is saying we use the pasuk for that, therefore we don't have it available to tell us about the Motzi Shemra. Okay, what about Rabbi Nosson, my time, like Omer Mehai? What about Rabbi Nosson? Why doesn't he use Rabbi Elazar's pasuk, like Selech Rochel, which means don't go around as a talebearer, which means don't speak Lashon Hara? He says, Ahu as Hara Lebeistin, because that pasuk is not telling us to not speak Lashon Hara. That pasuk is telling us that it's a warning to Beistin, Shelo Yehe Rach Lozeh V'Kosha Lozeh. They shouldn't be gentle with one of the Baalei Din and harsh with the other. In other words, the word rochel, we're darshaning as rachli, to be soft to me. So therefore, so it means that Beis Din is not allowed to treat the Baalei Dinim unequally, but nothing to do with Lashon Hara. Therefore, he says you need to instead learn from Nishmartim Kol Davar Ra. An interesting point is actually the Chofetz Chaim at the beginning of his famous sefer of that name, where on the halachas of Lashon Hara, he goes through, he says a person speaks Lashon Hara, they're over on about 30 different Isurim in the Torah. I think he says something like 17 essays and 14 lois essays, or the other way around or whatever. One of them is he deals with that a person speaks Lashon Hara, then he's one of the things he's over on is lois sonu ishas hamisa, the isur of oinas dvarim, you know, let's say hurtful words to somebody else. So he says, why doesn't the Gemara bring that over here? And obviously he's saying that his wife was Mazana during the Erison, that's pretty hurtful. And the answer is, so he says the answer is because, after all, that is a lav shebeklavos. That's a lav that includes many different things. Namely, it includes that, It includes, for example, telling a ger something that'll make him feel bad over the fact that he's a ger. It includes a bunch of different things. And therefore, the Gemara can't use it as a source over here for, we're talking about over here, we want a lav that's going to trigger malchus. The rule is the person doesn't get malchus for a lav shebeklolos. When you have a mitzvah in the Torah that includes many different unrelated things, then a person doesn't get an onesh for it. Here, we're looking for something that requires an onesh. Therefore, we need something that includes one and only one iser. Okay, in any case, so one or the other of those psukim is the source for the issur, and now that the husband was over on that issur, now they can give him malchus. Okay, the braisa continues. Loy omel edim boyu v'hayiduni. What if the husband did not tell the edim, come say edus on my behalf? V'hem me'idin oisim me'alehim. So they came on their own. So what happened is, the scenario of Motzi Shemra is, again, the husband and wife got married. So the case the Torah presents is that he comes to Beis Din and claims Lematzasi Lebitcha Besulim, and then he brings his aid. So now the possibility is that he didn't trigger anything at all.
Aidim came by themselves.
The Aidim came by themselves, right. Or it didn't even have to be. I mean, you could have, for example,
pay money
actually, we're going to get to in a few lines, mm-hmm. Hold that thought. But right, you could even have, for example, I imagine you could even have something where like the morning after the chasana, he looks upset and people ask him, what's the matter? And he tells them and they say, he doesn't even have to tell them, come to base. And you know what? We'll come to base. We actually know what happened. Okay. Anyway, so then, if it turns out that they're false Aidim, who ain't a loyka ain't a nice may sloim, he doesn't get the malchus or pay the 100 sloim because he didn't ask them to come. He was a man, makdim le beis haskila. However, if it turns out that it was true, then she and the edim zomim and against her go early to the beis haskila. And we talked about yesterday, a couple of possibilities, the Gemara mentioned this line, makdim le beis haskila, as well. And we said there's a couple of possibilities what that means. Rashi explained over there that makdim le means they get up early. So Rashi over there explained, and also in other places, that it means they may as well go first thing to the Beis Haskilah. They're not getting out of it. Once Beis Din listened to all the evidence and then everything's been decided, they're not getting out of it so easily. Unlike, for example, let's say if they'd been convicted by a Goyisha court, you never know. They could always find evidence of the type that such a court would find acceptable, even hearsay evidence or whatever. They could bribe the judges or whatever, but with a based in Shoei Yisrael, you're not going to have that. So like they may as well wake up early and then go there and get it over with.
How do you think the Edim Zomim going to...
One second.
You need another Edim Zomim to prove them
wrong.
That's
what we mean. In other words, right. That's what Edim Zomim is. But in other words, the expression, first let's deal with the expression, Makdim in Lebeis Haskila, is that we're saying, in other words, that so Rashi explains that it means they may as well go there early, first thing in the morning, because they're not getting out of it anyway. Especially because there is actually something in Halacha called Inui Hadin. Beis Din is not allowed to delay the execution of the din unduly. Yeah. So like this, if they've been convicted, then they may as well do it first thing in the morning. Now, of course, it is true as they're going, you have the whole system of signals and flags and a horseman and whatever, that if they find Adris that will exonerate the guy at any time before they execute him, then they'll rush back to Beis Din and bring him back to Beis Din. But ordinarily that's not going to happen. So they may as well take him out first thing. There are other explanations among Rishonim what the Makdim and the Beis Din means. One of them is that we know there's a din. If a person was convicted by Beis Din and is slated to be executed, so of course you have whichever of the four Mrs. Beis Din is appropriate. But let's say you were not able to do that particular one. Let's say, for example, now the person is supposed to be getting skila and they're escaping. If we don't do something on the spot, they're going to get away. Then we're allowed to kill them. B'chol misa. Then we're allowed to kill them with any kind of misa. We can shoot them for whatever. So therefore, we're saying makdimin. The earliest, the first thing to begin with would be skila. But if for whatever reason we can't do skila, then we can do any other. Anyway, so the expression is over here that she and her zomimin go to the base of skila. So we want to ask hebe zomimah sakadaita. What do you mean both she and her edim zomimin? It's one or the other. Either she's getting convicted, or the Edim turn out to be Edim Zemin, and they're getting convicted. So you're right. The Gemara says that's what it means. It means either she or the Edim Zemin against her. The point is, though, that the Braisa is saying again. So we have a case. So let's review the case. The husband did not bring them to Beis Din. They came on their own. So therefore, since the husband was not directly involved, then therefore, if it turns out that they're false Edim, the husband doesn't get consequences. The consequences that it says in the Pasuk, the Malkus and the 100 Selah, and the fact that he's not allowed to divorce her also, all of that is only if he brought the Edim to Beis Din. If they came on their own, none of that applies. However, if their address is true, then she's still going to get executed. And if their address is false, if their address is Zimlin, then they're going to get executed.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Taima Delay Omalahu. Now, the implication, what the Braise is saying, is only because he didn't tell them to come to Beis Din, therefore he gets out of it. Ha Omalahu. So the implication would be that if he actually told them to come, Afagab Delay Agrinu, then he would be chayv. It turns out they're false edim, even if he didn't hire them. And that would be la puki mid Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the point of that braise is to tell us not like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain't chayv at yisker edim. Rabbi Yehuda says he's actually only chayv, the Malkus and the 100, only if he actually hired the edim and they're false. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that they need to be hired in order to trigger that? Amar Abba, ask you sima. Because we make Xeda Shaba on the word Sima.
Oh, Sima.
The word Sima, which means the place.
The place.
Sima Hachav is some law alilas tvarim. Here you have the pasuk that says that he places for her a false accusation. Uchtivasam loises simun olav neshech. Then you have a pasuk that says don't place on a person neshech, which means ribis. Don't charge a fellow yid ribis. Mala halan mamun, afkan mamun. Over there, by ribis, obviously we're talking about money. So therefore, over here, we have to talk about that there's money involved where he actually paid them money to testify falsely on his behalf. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying you need to have that in order for him to be chayev. The Chachamim are saying you don't need that as long as he told them verbally to come to Beis Din. And then again, you have within that, then you have the machloikas that I mentioned just before between Rashi and Tosfos on the one hand versus the Rambam. Is it that only the Rambam holds only if we're mazim his edim, where then they're actually getting executed?
Right.
Only then is the husband chayev in the 100 and the malchus. And according to Rashi and Tosfos elsewhere, doesn't even have to be that we're mazim them. Could be that we're makhashem. Could be that we contradicted them in some other way short of hazama. For example, by saying that she or the guy who they're claiming that she was mezana with was out of town at the time.
Oh, iti b'momo komacher. We have momo komacher.
No, makom achas. So
alibe.
Well, one second. Slow down. Hazama is when they say you Adim were with us elsewhere. Hakosha is when they say the Baldin
was elsewhere. The Baldin was a banker. Right. He wasn't around.
Right.
So what do you want from
him? Okay. Now, with that said, Tosfa says, even though the Gemara is saying the expression ask Yasima Sima, Tosfa says it's not really a full-fledged Gzeira Shava because the Gemara is going to ask now about some details of this din of according to Rabbi Yehuda, would it apply in certain cases where if it was a true Gzeira Shava, we would say just as it definitely doesn't apply, just as Ribis definitely doesn't apply to those things on a Daraisa level, therefore neither would it. Therefore, Tosfos says we can't be talking about a true Gzeira Shava. We have to be talking about more like an Asmachta maybe, or more like a Gili Milsa Ba'alma or something short of a full Gzeira Shava. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachmi Yitzchak, V'chein Toni Rab Yosef Tzidoni Be'er Rab Shim Ben Yechoi. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, and also Yosef Tzidoni taught a braisa in the yeshiva of Rav Shimon Yochai, ask you sima, that we said that the same thing as Rav Abahu said, that we learn from the fact that it says sima over here, but some la'alu this dvarim, and the fact that it says over there, voice simon all over
That's extended gerusha.
It's sort of like a, right, like a, not a true zera shava, says, right? Okay. Which leads the Gemara to ask, boy Rav Yirmiyah, sochran b'karta mabu. What about if he hires these edim using karta? So he offers them, if you come testify on my behalf, then I'll give you some of my land.
I'll give you some of
now, that. This is a question within Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when it comes to ribis applies only to metaltalin. So therefore, right. So the question would be, Rashi says, are we learning from ribis? In that case, then it wouldn't apply. Or are we learning that it has to be some kind of mammon? In that case, then metaltalin is something that's worth mammon.
Okay.
Also, the pachas mishava pruta mahu. What if he hires them with less than a shava pruta, which is not which is usually not considered
each
money in
halacha?
No. We're talking about with together they get.
They together get one pruta.
No. Pachas mishava pruta means that the two of them together are getting less than a pruta. The third possibility is shnei b'pruta mahu. The third possibility is, what if the two of them together is giving a pruta, so each one's getting only a half? So the previous one was that neither of them is even getting as much as a half. Here we're saying each one of them is getting a half. Together it's a pruta. Okay. So mahu, so what would be the deal? So, and the Gemara leaves it open. I mean, as a matter of practical halacha, it's not negeya, because the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. So the question would be how we understand Rabbi Yehuda's shita.
Okay.
Boy Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi asks another question. This one is not within the opinion. This one is not within the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. This one is a more general question. Motzi Shemra al Nisuin Harishonim Mahu. What about if he did Motzi Shemra on the first marriage? Meaning Rashi describes he married her. He wasn't Motzi Shemra on that. Divorced her. They hadn't yet had relations, because obviously, if they did, she's not a basula anymore. Now he remarried her, and now he says that when I married her the first time,
lo matzasi lebitcha basulim. That I, you know, found. What? It's interesting you say it's the same guy.
Well, it has to be.
It has to be the same guy. Well, you know, I would say so sad, so too late, so sad. I mean, you have to do it after the first marriage. You can't do it after the second marriage.
That is the question. Okay. So that's the question. That's how Rashi learns the question, that he's saying that Benisuin or Shon, it has to be, because otherwise, if it was somebody else, I mean,
has no time.
So Al Nisuin or Shon Mahu. Also Al Nisuin Ochiv Mahu. And what would happen also if it was on his brother's marriage? So we're talking about a case of Yibum. So he's saying that when she was married to my brother, then he didn't find her basulim.
That's out of the ballpark. I think it's too far.
You understand? This is the Gemara. This is the style of the Gemara. It asks questions even when it seems like it would be very far-fetched. As long as it is something that is possible. I'll tell you. We find with the same Reb Yumia, for example, where he actually got himself thrown out of the Beis Medrash one time for asking a question that he shouldn't have. Uh-oh. Now Rashi says, oh, but one second.
Just let the rabbi relax. Teach you.
Relax. Rashi over there explained because he was being matriach them with questions. However, Tosfos says it's not that. The Gemara has in many places, like here, much more odd questions that you would never even think could ever happen in real life. Rather, what it is Tosfos explains over there that Reb Yumia's question was based on assuming that a rule in halacha is not an absolute rule. So then they threw him out of the Beis Medrash. You have to start with the assumption that when the Chachamim give you a rule, then that rule is absolute. That it's not a thing to ask in the Beis Medrash about that. So over here, there's nothing that the Chachamim are telling us that is impossible, that couldn't make it happen. It might be very unlikely. Balabata Shesvara might be, it's too late or whatever. Nonetheless, we're not worried about Balabata Shesvara. The fact is, it is possible, and therefore we have to ask, would such a thing trigger it?
You're okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Pshoit miyachoda. At least you can answer one of these questions. The Tony Rav Yonah, because Rav Yonah taught a braisa that when the pasuk says that, so what happens in the case of Motzi Shemra? So the man is coming and saying, "Lamatzasi lebitchom sulim." The father, the parents of the girl come to Beis Din, and the father says, "Asbiti nasati leishazah." I gave my daughter in marriage to this man. Now he's being Motzi Shemra about her. The word hazeh means lazev lo yavam. So he's saying, "I gave her to him, not to the yavam." So only if the original husband was Motzi Shemra, then we would say that it applies, but not when it's a case of a Yavam, because the word Hazeh, the word Hazeh excludes that.
Exactly.
Okay. Fine. Now, earlier in the sugya, we talked about, at the bottom of Memheim and Beis, we talked about that there was Machloikas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim in connection with this matter of Motzi Shemra. So now let's analyze that. Ma'ira Barno, Ma'ira Blaz Ben Yaakov. What is their machloikas that we mentioned before? So Tanya, Ketzad Hatzara Shemra. How does the procedure of Motzi Shemra happen? Bala Beis Din Ba'omar. It starts with that the husband comes to Beis Din and he says, and Ba'omar, Ploini Lematzasin Bitcham Sulim. He says to the father-in-law, Ploini, your daughter is not a Basula. So Im Yesh Edim Shazin Satachta. If there are Edim, that she would, if
13, less than marriageable age.
No, we're talking about that the girl herself is 12. The husband himself could be any age. So if there were Edim, she's in Zatachtim, if there were Edim that she was Mizana, during the marriage, meaning after the kiddushin, yesh la ksuba mana, and she still gets a ksuba of 100. The Gemara says, 1 second, what do you mean? You mean she's into tachtav yesh la ksuba mana baskila? Then she's getting skila.
Yeah.
She's not getting any ksuba at all. In general, even when you don't have Aiden Vasra, even when you stop short of skila, there's no Aiden Vasra, or nowadays when there's no based in or whatever.
Unless she's a psula, she never got married before.
1 second. If a woman was mezana after the kiddushin, then she's chayav nisa. And even if for whatever reason the nisa is not done, no Aidim, no Asra, no based in smuchim or whatever, the fact is she forfeits her ksuba.
Right.
You even have, we learned in Yevamos, for example, we had the case over there where a woman was told by an aide that her husband died and she remarried, and then it turns out that her husband is alive, then we still say that she forfeits her ksuba from her first husband. So even though over there, okay. Thank you. So even though over there she didn't do it deliberately, she thought that her husband is dead. Right. Nevertheless, she forfeits her ksuba. How much more so over here? So how can we say that if there were Adim that she was mizana during the marriage, she gets a ksuba of a mana, she doesn't get anything at all? And the Gemara says, Hachikama. You're right. What the Braisa means is, Im yesh Adim shezinza tachtav miskila. If there were Adim that she was mizana during the marriage after the kiddushin, then she's getting skila. Zinsa me'ikra. If there were Adim that she was mizana beforehand, before the kiddushin, so then of course she's not chayav nisa for that. Nevertheless, the husband still has a valid claim. He says, I expected that she's a basula, and she's not. Therefore, yesh la ksuba mana. So therefore, she gets a ksuba of 100. So now we learned actually in the first parak that's not so simple. We said there were different opinions on that subject, whether in fact she gets a ksuba of 100 or whether in that case she forfeits a ksuba at all, because we can say mekartos. So our braisa is one of those opinions that says that she would get a ksuba of 100, but it's not universally agreed to. Anyway, continues the braisa, nimtza sheshemra eino shemra. If it turns out that the shemra that he's putting against her is not a shemra, in other words, she was not in fact mizana, and the husband or his edim are lying, then hu loike v'noisa mea sela, then he gets the malchus and he pays the 100 sela, and that applies bein baal or bein loy baal. All of that applies whether the husband actually had relations with her or whether he did not yet. Because you could have, you know, the case could be that he had relations with her and then he discovered at that time she's not a basola, or it could be that he didn't, but he discovered before he had a chance to even, that he discovered, or he claims to have discovered evidence that she was mizan. So now the Tanna Kamma is saying all of these rules apply bein baal or bein leibal. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, lo nemru dvarim halalu ela k'shabaal. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the rules in the pasuk, that the rules in the pasuk, as far as the 100 and as far as the malchus, apply only if he had relations with her. So that's the machlokes that the Gemara had referred to before, where it said before, brought before a braisa, that where we said that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing over that same point. So the Gemara asked, "Bishleim alad Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov." Now let's analyze the pasukim closely and see. See how Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would understand them and how the Chachamim would understand them. So Bishleim alad Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, "Hain dechtiv uvo eleha vo ekrav eleha." So you have the pasuk describes it that he marries her uvo eleha and he comes to her, meaning they have relations. And then a couple of pasukim later, when he's bringing the accusation to Beis Din, he says, I approached her, which also would mean that they had relations. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's exactly what it means. How would the Chachamim understand those phrases? And the answer is, they would say, the word doesn't mean he comes to her as in to have relations. It means he comes against her with false accusations. Uh-huh. And the word means bidvarim. The word is saying, I came to her with words. In other words, I started talking about it with her to find out what happened to you. So nothing to do with having relations.
Okay.
So v'shleim alad Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, hain dechtiv lematzasi lebitcham sulim. So I understand the point of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The pasuk continues that the husband says, I found that your daughter did not have basulim. Okay, so he actually had relations with her and discovered that she's not a basula. Elo l'rabbanon mai lematzasi lebitcham sulim. So according to them who say that the whole thing would apply even if they didn't actually have relations. So what does that phrase mean? And it means he's saying lematzasi lebitcha kishrei basulim. I did not find for your daughter things having to do with Besulim that will say that she's kosher. Meaning, in other words, so like this, I have Edim that say that she was Mizana. I did not find any other Edim that contradict or are being Mazim those Edim. So as far as I'm concerned, these are true Edim, and I want you based in to do something about it. Kishrei goes on the Edim, in other words, the Edim who will declare that she is kosher, that she's a basula, and that she didn't do anything wrong.
If somebody wants to, keep it for herself, and called stashing, and lied just to keep her away from everyone, so he can.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. They're already married. Anyway, okay. So what about the Let's continue. According to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, the pasuk says that the father, the parents of the girl come to Beis Din, and the father says the whole thing is a baba maisa. He married her, he hates her, and now he's saying false accusation. And you should know, be'ela b'sule biti, these are the basulim of my daughter. So according to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, it sounds like literally he's bringing out a sheet that has blood on it, and there's the blood of the basulim.
Oh, it might be blood somewhere else. So who knows?
One second. Ela l'rabbanan mai ve'ela basulim biti. But according to the Chachamim, what does it mean when he says these are the basulim of my daughter? We're not even talking about whether there was basulim yet, because they didn't necessarily have relations yet. And again, the answer is ve'ela kishrei basulim biti. It means the same thing. The father is saying, these are Edim who will show that my daughter, after all, is kosher, who are going to be mazim or machish, the Edim that you, the husband, are bringing.
Yeah, you can prove it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what he's saying. You say you have Edim that she was mazana. I have opposite Edim who say that she was out of town, or that those Edim were out of town, or whatever. Now, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov continued, according to him, the pasuk continues, they spread out the garment. Now, on the face of it, again, we mean the garment that has blood on it. Yeah. Now, here's where Tosfos points out, one second, what's the logic over here? I mean, even Rabbi Lezman Yaakov has to agree that there have to be Edim over here. Obviously, a garment by itself doesn't show much. The blood could be from someplace else, or vice versa, You can sometimes you have a woman. We learned back in the first parak, for example, sometimes you have women where they have relations and blood doesn't come out for whatever reason.
That's
so, Tosfos explains, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Lezman Yaakov would say, when is the husband chayev, the Malkus in the 100, only if he was meiz ponim, only if he was so azus ponim to the extent that he's saying, I have a sheet that doesn't have blood on it. So not only he has to have Edim, that his wife was Mazana, but he's even trying to deny something completely obvious, that he's saying, I have a sheet. That the sheet that we use that night, and it does not have blood on it, and then Bastin opens up the sheet, and sure enough, they find it's full of blood. So only when he's made to that extent, then Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is saying he gets the Malkus and the 100, but not short of that. But again, according to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, now that's according to Tosfos. There are Rishonim who learn, the Ramban and some other Rishonim learn that no, even Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is not saying literally you mean a sheet, you need to have a sheet. But they're saying there has to be the possibility of being one. Namely, they had to have had relations. If there's no relations, then there's no sheet even to talk about. So in other words, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov effectively is saying by that you need what he said before, that they need to have had relations in order for this whole thing of Motzi Shemra to apply. Because the Pashtus, you could say, I mean, when the Chosin and Kala have relations, it's not necessarily in their own house. They usually have a special room or a special place built for the purpose. So afterwards, and besides that, it doesn't have to be that the father has it in his possession. It could be that Bastin sends somebody to get it from wherever it is. Yeah. Anyway, so according to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, you understand the phrase of Forus Rasimla. Either like Tosfos is saying, he literally needs to be claiming that the sheet is clean and we find out that he's lying and it's dirty, or according to the Ramban and so forth, it means that there has to at least be the possibility. In theory, there could be a sheet, namely, in other words, they had to have had relations. No relations, and there's nothing to talk about as far as a sheet. But how would the Chachamim understand that phrase if according to them, you don't even need to have had relations? And the answer is, Amar Ababahu, Persu Masha Samla. It means that we spread out in front of Beis Din what he placed against her, the false accusation. In other words, we figure the whole thing out. Tosfos points out, it's not that we're taking the word simla and doushing it as though it said v'samla, but since earlier in the psukim it says v'samla alilas dvarim, that he places against her false accusations, so now the Gemara is using that expression v'samla as well. But in other words, v'forus v'simla means not that we spread out something, but in other words, we put everything on the table as far as the evidence that we have, and we figure out what's going on. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in a b'raisa, when it says v'forus v'simla, This teaches us that the Edom of both sides come, and they clarify the thing like a new garment. So they get down to the bottom line over here and find out what's going on, which sides Edom are true and which sides Edom are false. On the other hand, we said Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Dvorim Piksav on Simla Mamash. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it means literally a garment, which again, according to Tosfos, would mean that he actually has to falsely claim that the garment is clean, and in fact, we said that the sheet is clean, and in fact, we find out it's not. And according to the Ramban and other Rishonim, it just means that there has to have been the relations which involve a sheet in order for this whole din to be triggered. Interesting point, by the way, is a stylistic point. The Rambam passed into like the Chachamim, that doesn't matter whether Boal or the Rambam passed into rather like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We have a general rule that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Mishnasei Kav Benok, there's very little of him, relatively speaking, in Gemara compared to other Tanoim. But whenever he says something, the halacha is like, so it does have to mean that Boal, however, then the Rambam explains the Psukim over there more like the Chachamim, that the word similar doesn't literally mean that you bring a sheet to Beis Din. It means that you clarify the thing like a sheet. Okay. So the Gemara says.
Yeah, Rabbi Goldberg told me that years ago. They don't literally bring the sheet.
Right. But again, according to Tosfos over here, you actually do, because Tosfos is saying that it has to be, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the guy is literally claiming, not only he has Edim, which turned out to be false Edim, but he falsely claims, I didn't even find blood and I have a sheet to prove it. And we bring the sheet to Beis Din, and sure enough, there's blood on it. You're not expecting, well, nevertheless. Why not? For example, think of it. Beis Din would have to check. Why not?
What I'm saying is very far-fetched that you bring something and you expect to check that.
You're not expecting Beis Din to check, basically. I don't know, but whatever. That's what Tosfos says, because he's so hazed on him, he was so chutzpahdik that he thinks he can pull a fast one on Beis Din, and therefore that's it. Okay, so the Gemara finishes it. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Yuri Mishmeid Rabbi Yechman. Throughout the Torah, we never find, or almost never find, that the Torah makes a distinction between Bia Kedarka and Shaloi Kedarka. For example, when it comes to Arayas, when it comes to the kind of Bia that's Koina Yavama, when it comes to any different kinds of things, there's generally no difference between Bia Kedarka and Shaloi Kedarka. Lamakos, as far as getting Malkos, or Oinshin, or as far as other punishments. Ava Motzi Shemra Chola. But when it comes to Motzi Shemra, there is a distinction. Enechayev, he's chayev, the husband, for the malchus and the whatnot, only if he had relations with her, shaloi kedarka, which doesn't have to mean it had to be shaloi kedarka. In other words, the relations that he had with her could be either kedarka or shaloi kedarka. But the yotzi shemra kedarka, but he's claiming that she had previously been mezana kedarka and lost her besulim that way. So the Gemara asks, Kaman, well, which opinion is that like? If that was like, if we're talking according to the Chachamim against Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we said before, according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter whether he had relations or not. Either way, the din of Motzi Shemra applies. And if you're saying like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then wouldn't he require that both the husband's relations and what he's claiming his wife did were both kedarka? If he's saying Dvorim Kiksavon, that he's saying there actually were relations, and he's saying that now I didn't find her a basula, then how is that possible if he did it shaloi kedarka with her? So the answer is Ella, rather, we have to correct that. Shalach Rav Kahana Meshmeidet of Yechnon. Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yaakov Bar Yuri sent a message in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now we're saying that Rabbi Kahana sent another message in the name of Rabbi Yechanan to clarify, to correct what he had said. He's chayiv only if both the Be'ila and the Shemra are both Kedarka, meaning exactly that. If the husband had relations with his wife, Shaloi Kedarka, and now he comes and says, then the dinim that we're saying over here, the 100 and the Malkus and whatever, would not apply. It has to be that there was, the point of Elazar ben Yaakov, that there was in fact Be'ila, and that Be'ila has to be Kedarka, and then he actually found that she's not a Basula. And this is how the Rambam paskins of a halacha.
The Yotzi Shemra has to be Kedarka.
The Yotzi Shemra definitely has to be Kedarka, because he's saying that I didn't find her of the Sola. So that's what we're saying. In other words, so we're saying that it has to. So the scenario is he marries her, he has relations with her, Kadarka. He didn't find her a basula. Now he comes to Beis Din and says, I found on the wedding night she's not a basula, and the Rambam phrases, I started checking into it, and I found that found Adim who told me that that she was Mizana during the Erisin, and then the whole thing takes off from there. Okay. Now that we talked about in the previous Mishnayos about the father having the rights to the knas if somebody was onus or mafata his daughter and then we talked about the father's role in this whole matter of the motzi shemra. So now let's talk about the Mishnah is going to talk about various things that a father has rights over his daughter when she's a ketana or when she's a naira, and that in turn is going to get us to things that the husband has rights to things of his wife's, and that's going to lead us back into the topic of the Masechta, which is the among other things, the respective chiyuvim and the respective things that each one gets from the other of the husband and wife. So the Mishnah says, Ha'av zakeh b'bita b'kiddushah, the father has rights over his daughter regarding her kiddushin when she's a ktana or a naira, the kesef b'shtar b'biyah, as far as any of those, meaning the money of the kiddushin belongs to him, if he receives a shtar from the chosen, then she's niskadish with that. And bia, so Rashi just says it means that he's allowed to give her to somebody for kiddushe bia. Now, the Gemara elsewhere mentions, by the way, you're not supposed to do kiddushe bia, and Rav would give people malchus maudus for doing it, but Midrash say it is a valid method of kiddushin, and the father has the ability to give her to whoever he chooses for that. There's even Mephoshim will explain, based on Yerushalmi, that he even has the right to accept money from somebody on that for that purpose. The person can say, I'm willing to pay you X amount, and I will be Makadish, your daughter with Bia, and the father is allowed to accept that money and say, go ahead. We're not saying it would be very nice of the father to do that, but he is allowed to appeal. Next. Zakai b'mitziyah. So he also is entitled to anything she finds, any money or whatever that she finds. As we'll discuss in the Gemara why these things are. Over Maisia Deh, he's entitled to her earnings or anything that she makes, when she's a Ktana or a Naira. Over Aforas Nedareha, he's also entitled to cancel her Nedarim, as it describes at the beginning of Parshas Matos. Over Kabbalas Gita, he can receive her get. So if she was divorced when she's still a Naira, if she was divorced from the Erisin, Rashi says. One second. If she's still a Tana or a Naira and there were only Erosin, then she's still in his Rishus when she gets divorced, therefore he can receive her debt. As opposed to if there was Nisuin, then she's out of her father's Rishus, as we're going to discuss in the next Mishnah. And also if she became a Begeris, then she's out of her father's Rishus. So then her father, then of course, now if she appoints her father a Shliach to receive a get for her, a Shliach Kabbalah, that's another matter, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the regular case where as a Ktana or a Naira, and it was Mina Erosin, he's automatically able to receive her get on her behalf. But yeah. The Eina Eichel Peres B'chayah. Now, one thing is, though, if she does have property of her own, Rashi describes, let's say she inherited property from her mother's side of the family, her father does not get the Peres of that. The produce, the earnings, the proceeds from that particular field.
That's not Son Barzel. It's the other one, right?
So we're talking about whatever it is. It's we're talking about. Barzel. Let's say it was Nichsim. Yeah, we'd have to say that it was Nichsim Malug, for Nichsim example, Malug. And then right. her mother.
She owns it totally.
Whatever the case okay. is, the point. You could have a case, for example, where let's say her mother inherited property from her parents exactly. because she didn't have any brothers, and now this daughter inherited from her mother.
It's all hers.
Whatever the case. The point is, Rashi brings Ela Oisin Lasgula. Now, the father is not entitled to those payers. And the Mephoshim explained, the Gemara is going to explain later on that the father is entitled to her Metzia because of Ava, because otherwise the father is going to feel resentful disgrace, towards yeah. her. Not disgrace, but resentful. Excuse me, the Chachamim are making a takana of this. You want to learn, then please, yeah. Okay? The point is, she's a Ktana or a Naira. If she finds something and she doesn't give it to her father, she's not going to give it to her, then the father is going to feel Ava. He's going to feel very resentful towards her. Look at this, I'm supporting you.
Right.
And you're not, on the other hand, before I should say, when it comes to Paris, the amounts of Paris are so large that no reasonable person is going to say, you know what, I resent that you don't give this to me. So therefore, the Chacham were not misakin that she has to give him the payers. Now, what happens is, Rashi says, Oisim al-Sgula. Now, on the other hand, she's a Tana or a Naira. she can't be expected to manage her own financial affairs. Mm-hmm. So her father keeps it in trust for her. Oisma Segula basically means that he has to get something for her with that, that she'll be able to, an asset, some kind of asset that afterwards she'll be able to benefit from. Anyway, that's the father does that. Continues the Mishnah. Nisis, now when the girl gets married, yes, all of a baal. So the husband is entitled to these things that we said before. He's entitled to things that she finds and umaisia deha and so forth. And he has additionally sha'ichol peres b'chayel. He does get the produce of her karka or whatever it is during her lifetime, as we're going to discuss in detail later in the Masechta. B'chayev b'mezoneseha. Now, on the other hand, the husband is chayev to support his wife. And we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow and the following days that the Chachamim made a bunch of these things, one corresponding to the other. Because he gives her mezonis, then he's entitled to Maisia Deha. Because he gives her such and such, therefore he's entitled to such and such, etc. Right. We're going to talk about that the next couple of days, right? So he's chayev to free her from captivity if she was captured by Goyim or put in jail or whatever. And then he has to pay money to get her out.
Only in that case, you say he has to free her anyway.
No, what do you mean? No,
you have to free her for captivity.
No. So you have a regular mitzvah.
That's a ketubah.
One second. So this is one of the Tanoi Ksuba. This is what we're talking about. We're starting to talk about here about Tanoi Ksuba. In other words, if you hear that a fellow yid is in jail, sure, you have a mitzvah opinion, sure. But that's no more specific mitzvah on you than on every other yid.
Okay.
Here we're talking about he has a specific thing towards his wife. Yes, it's one of the Tanoi Ksuba. Okay. That's what we're talking about, the Tanoi Ksuba. Okay. That he has a specific requirement to free her from jail, yeah. Ukvorasa, and to bury her when she passes away. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda says, as far as... Can you ask this later, please?
Yeah, I'm going to steal it. It's not on my list.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu oni shebiyisrael lo yifchis mishnei chalilinum kainenes. Rabbi Yehuda says you're talking about burying her. That means not only the actual burial itself, but also the things that take place by Leviah. Even the poorest yid, says Rabbi Yehuda, should have not less than two flutes and one woman to cry over there, which was the standard thing they had over there. They would have people playing flutes, they'd have them playing some kind of sad tune on it or whatever, and you'd have women over there who would like lead the mourning, as we learned at the end of
Martin Cotton.
So you have to have, so that's the minimum.
They'd write some
more. Yeah, I guess like they'd cry or they'd give, yeah, or something. Yeah, they'd say, they'd start the crying and everybody would follow.
Lead crime. Okay,
yeah, let's go. And, yeah, you have. Like, then also they'd say things. For example, at the end of Moed Katan a few months back, we talked about there were various phrases, there were various expressions that they would say that would arouse people's emotions.
Okay. What
are they crying about? About the person died. Somebody died. Okay. So they're going to ask, Bekesef Menolam. We're talking about, Bekesef Menolam. The question is not where we know that Kedusha Kesef, that Kedushin can be done with Kesef. That we do, that we're going to learn about in the second.
That's the Kedushin.
We're talking about how we know the father is entitled to that money. So the answer is Amar of Yehuda, Amar Kro, because the Pasuk says, V'yotza chinam ein kosef. The Pasuk says, when an Amar Hevriya goes free from her master, then she goes free without money. And the expression, ein kesef, means ein kesef, or adun zeh, meaning this particular master who she was working for the last 6 years is not entitled to any money at that point. V'yesh kesef, or adun asa. But the implication is at that period, at that time in her lifetime. Now remember, that Pasuk, V'yotza chinam ein kosef, is talking about not when she goes free actually at the end of the 6 years, that's talking about when she goes free as a Naira. She develops Shtei Cyrus, and then she's free from being an Oma Evriya. So at that point, she's not paying her master, but the implication is at that stage in her life, there still is money that would go to a different master of hers, namely Umanu Aviyah, namely she's still under her father's Ashrus. So the Gemara asked, okay, so you see that there's money involved, but how do you know that it means that, maybe the Pasuk is just telling us that the concept of Kedusha Kesef at all. So it means, in other words, there is Kesef by another Yitzia when she leaves her father's Rishos to go to her husband's Rishos, but maybe after all the money goes to her rather than to her father. And the answer is, it can't be. Hashta via Makabo Kedusha. After all, we know the father can accept Kedushin on her behalf. Because after all, the Pasuk, in connection with Moitzi Shemra, the father says, I gave my daughter to this man. And we said before, she has to be a Naira at this time in order for this to happen. So therefore, so if the father has the right to receive it on her behalf, what's the logic that she should be taking the money? Of course her father should be taking it because she's still under his Rishus.
Can we go to speak about the actual other?
What we're saying is like this. We're saying because it's v'yotza chinam ein kosef, we're saying the odon doesn't get any money when she leaves as a naira. The implication is that there's a different odon who receives money, namely the father. When she's leaving the father's reshus, there is money involved. But the question is, how we know that it goes to the father? And the answer is because we see from a different pasuk that the father receives kedushin on her behalf, must be that she's getting it. Okay, still the Gemara asks for Emahani Mila Kitana de Lesla Yad. Still, you could say, fine, that would apply when he's Makadish her still as a Kitana, because then at that point she has no Yad, she has no ability to be Makadish herself yet. Now, Motzi Shemra, fine, but the case of Motzi Shemra, you could have, after all, that. Remember, in those times, there was usually a year between Kedushin and Nisuin. So you could easily have where he accepted Kedushin on her behalf when she's a Ketana. Now, at the time of the Nisuin, a year later, she's already a Naira. And then you have the whole story of Motzi Shemra. So you don't have Shtei Sairus. No, Naira is Shtei Sairus. So yeah, in between, during that year, she developed Shtei Sairus. Between Tana and Naira is Shtei Sairus, yeah. So maybe Avol Naira de Isla Yad, maybe to be Makadish her to begin with as a Naira, where she already has an ability, she already has a Yad, she has the ability to acquire things on her own. E to Kadish Nafsha ve'i Tishko Kaspa. How do you know? Maybe the Pasuk is not telling us that the father can still be Makadish her at that point, let alone that he gets the money. And the answer is, maybe as a Naira, she should be able to be Makadish herself, and she should get the money. Where do you know that the Esbiti Nasati Le'ishazeh is telling us that he still has the right to do all that as a Naira? And the answer is, Omakra binureha beisavia. The answer is, because at the end of the part about Haforas Nedarim, the Pasuk uses the expression, binureha beisavia, in her youth, in her time of Nairus, in her father's house, implying, kol shvach ne'urim ma'avia, any benefits that come during the time of her ne'urim go to her father. So therefore that tells us that he still has the right to be Makadisher and to receive the money for the Kiddushin on that at that time. Okay. The Gemara asks, "Be'ela hoda amar Rav Huna amar Rav." However, then we have to ask. We find what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav. Minayin shemaisa basla aviha. How do we know that a daughter's earnings go to her father? Shenema kiyimko ishes bita la'ama. The pasuk says if a man sells his daughter as a maidservant, and the word as a maidservant is extra. What else would he be selling her for? It means ma oma maisia de la'aba. Just like a maidservant, whatever she earns goes to her master. As bas maisia de la'aba. So the implication is that anything the same way, whatever a girl makes goes to her father. So the question is lama li. Why would Rav Huna need the pasuk for that? Typically, minureh beisavia. Wouldn't he be able to learn it out from minureh beisavia? Why would the Torah need to tell us a separate pasuk? Ella, obviously, the answer is we can't learn from minureh beisavia. Hahu b'haforas nedarim u'bichtid, because the answer is that's talking about haforas nedarim. So therefore, you can't learn from it to matters of mammon. Because v'chitem and neilaf mina, you're going to say, so what? We learn from haforas nedarim. The answer is mamonim isur lo yafinan. You can't learn mammon from isur. The fact that the Torah says the father has the rights over her in matters of isur v'heter to cancel her nedarim doesn't demonstrate that he also has rights over her as far as mammon. So therefore, that's why Rav Huna has to have a different pasuk to learn about ma'aseh yadeh. Well, then back to how are we learning that he can be mekadesh her during that time? Now, Tosfos says, okay, Kedushin is a matter of Isser V'Heter. However, it's Isser V'Heter that involves money, as opposed to Nedarim doesn't involve money. So how can we learn one from the other? So don't we need a different pasuk? The Chitem and Nelef Miknasa. So we're going to answer, okay, instead we can learn that he can be Makadisher and get the money of Kedushin. We can learn from Knas, from the fact that he gets the money of the Onus and Mefata. The answer is no, Mamoni Miknasa Layofinan. We can't learn a regular Chiyuv of money from Knas. Knas is a special thing. We learned in the last few days, because after all, it's something the Torah is imposing a fixed amount, even though the damages may be more or less than that. And it's the same thing regardless of her status and so forth. So you can't learn that. The Chitema Nelef in Boshes of Gam. You're going to say maybe we can learn from Boshes and Pagam, where we said that the father gets the Boshes and Pagam for the Anuso and Mefuta as well. And those are Mammon, those are not Knas. The answer is that's different because the shiny Boshes of Gam, the Avionami Shayach Bey, the difference is that Boshes of Gam, the father has a connection to. So Rashi says the connection is, we said before that he can be Makadisher to whoever he wants. That means he could even be Makadisher to somebody who's ugly or somebody who's deformed or diseased or whatever. So there, and that would cause her Boshes and Gam. So therefore, he has the right to do that. So therefore, that means there. So therefore, it's logical that he has the right to bochus and pagam. But how does that tell us about kedushin? Now, Tosfos says, not over here, but Rishonim rather ask one second. We're in the middle of trying to prove that he's able to be Mekadosh at this age. Yeah, we're kind of begging the question here. So therefore, they explain, no, but what it means is definitely we know, the Gemara knew for a fact, of course, that he can be Mekadosh as a Tana. If he's Mekadosh as a Tana to somebody who's ugly or deformed or whatever, she's going to continue to have that bochus and pagam when she's older. And nevertheless, we're still saying the father has the right to do that as a Tana. Therefore, it's logical to say that therefore he would get, if at any particular time she gets bochus and pagam, then yeah, he's entitled to that money. How does that tell us about regular money of kedushin when she's a naira? Maybe that's different.
She does need when she would.
Well, she can't. No. You're talking about miyun. That's only if somebody other than her father was mekadosh. If her father
is mekadosh, she's an iron.
No. We're talking about when she's a katana.
A katana. In other words, okay. That the father gets the boishes in the town.
Yeah. So that okay. No. So what we're saying
because,
is that,
because he's also he has the boishes.
So that's what we're
saying. Boishes.
No. That's something else. That's a different explanation. Oh. That's a different explanation. Oh. It's boishes and gam. Right. So that is actually a different explanation of Vianami Shayef Bey is the father himself shares in the boishes and gam. If she's an anusa or mafuta, it's not only her humiliation. It's not only her gam. It also reflects on her father. So therefore, he has a shayef there. But how does that tell us as far as kedushin? Ella, no. The reason is mistabra. When we say that the father, when she's a naira, can still receive the kedushin, mistabra to keep a mind rachmana yitzia to kavasar kamamai. Let's go back to the pasuk for yotzachinam ein kasek, and we're saying ein kasek lo adin zav yesh kasek lo adnach. What we're going to say is it's logical that when we're talking about the Torah as being mamayit a yitzia, it has to be a similar kind of yitzia. So Rashi brings two explanations of what that means. The first one that he brings from Shiltus is like this. When the girl leaves as an Omer Hebrea. Now there's two possibilities. She could be leaving as a Naira and then she goes free without paying anything at all. The other possibility is she can leave ahead of the end of the 6 years if she pays the amount that's left. So she was sold, let's say, for $600. She's supposed to be working there 6 years. So every year is $100. So if now she's ready to go free after 4 years, then she pays him $200. Okay. And then she goes free.
She pays
so in other words, we see that there is money involved over there and it goes to him. Therefore, if the Torah is saying, V'yotzachinam ein kosef, and if we were to say that she gets the money of her own kedushin at the age of a naira, then it wouldn't be similar to the odin. By the odin, she's paying him money. Therefore, it's logical to say, if we say yesh kesef lo adnacher, that kesef is actually going to her father and not to her. Just like the money that she's paying, the money that she's paying to get out of being an omar hebriya goes to him and not to her. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that just like over there, it's talking about a naira, then here also it must be talking about a naira. However, Rashi says, I have a problem with that because still, you still have the problem. How do we know it doesn't go to her? You still have the question, though, that you'd still have the question. Fine, that tells you that the father can be Mekadosh her at that age. But how does that tell us that he gets the money? So Rashi himself explains it in Kedushin. He says that the pasuk is telling us that just like over here, just like by an Omer Hevriya, the Odin doesn't get any kesef if she's going out of his Rishus. The same way over here, it has to mean that the one she's leaving his Rishus does get kesef, but it's still, Rashi says it's a bit of a dotha. Tosfos also doesn't like that second explanation. So it prefers the first explanation that the point is, we see that there is a case where she would be paying money to the Odin, and therefore we're saying the same thing with Kedushin. When she's a Naira, then there is money that's paid to her Odin, namely the father. So the Gemara asks for holy dam yahitziya la hoyitziya. The fact is the two kinds of going out are different. Hosn Gabi Odin Nafkalem Rishus Gamri. When it comes to the Elma Hevriya, she leaves her master's Rishus completely. He has no more rights over her at all. On the other hand, when she's leaving the father's Rishus, there's still lacks Masir Lachuppa. Still have, fine, he was Makadisher, but she still continues usually to live at home for that year, and chuppa. Only afterwards is the Chuppa, then she completely leaves the father's Rishus, so it's not the same thing. And the answer is, at least though, as far as Aforis Nedorim, she is out of his Rishus, in the sense that the Tanan, Naira Hamarosa, Bio Bailam, Firin Londonera, by a Naira Hamarosa, we find that both her father and her husband jointly have to be made for her Nedarim. So therefore we see that the father has lost a certain Rishus over her just with the Kedushin, where until now he could cancel her Nedarim on his own, and now he needs her Chosin to do it with. So therefore that's enough of a reason to say, in that sense, she's left his Rishus. Right. To that extent, Therefore, we can say that that's similar to the leaving the reshus of the Adon when Etor and Alma Hevriya, that we can say that we draw a similarity between them, and we say that therefore that tells us something about her Kesef Kedushin. Okay, then we said, let's finish off. We said the other two kinds of things are Shtar and Bia, Minolon. So where do we know? We see, so now we've established how we know that the father is entitled to the money of the Kedushin. What about when Shtar and Bia, Minolon? Where do we know the father has Rashus over those as well? And the answer is Omakrova Hoysala Ishachar, because the Pasuk mentions that a woman goes and remarries somebody else where the word Vahoysa refers to Kedushin. So we have a hekesh between all the different kinds of havaya, all the different kinds of kedushin. Once we have a din that applies to one, then it applies to the other. Since we've established that the father has the rights over kesef, then therefore he also has the rights over shtar and over bia. Okay. And tomorrow we'll start talking about why it is that the father has certain rights to things of his daughter. Okay.